Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Continuing on our hunger. It's a hunger for holiness. We want to be holy. The word of Yahweh says, be ye holy as I am holy. We found out in the word that if he wants us to be holy, and he says we can be holy as he is holy, then we know that it's possible. Because, you know, in our minds we think, oh, how is that possible? Well, Yahweh said it's possible. And the last I checked, he said he could not lie. So if he says it's possible for us to live in holiness, tell your neighbor it's possible. And we're going to do like Nike said, tell your neighbor just do it. All you got to do is make up your mind that you want to do it. It's a lifestyle. That means it's our style of life. It's how we live. Right? Because we've already lived one way before. And we know where that led us to, right? We know the destruction that was in that. We know the heartache and the pain and everything that was in that. But you know, one day we called upon him and he gave us a brand new life. He transformed us, picked us up, turned us around, set us in the right direction. And we're thankful today, right? So it's a new life. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about this new, beautiful life. However, as believers, the enemy wants to pull us back into some of that old lifestyle mess. And we talked about the mess, right? And so if we go to Galatians, the 5th chapter, I would like to say, though, going back to when we first started, the hunger, it means to ardently crave. It's like we want it. We eagerly seek it. We eagerly desire it. And that should be our hunger. It shouldn't be something that we're made to do. It shouldn't be something that we feel forced into. But we live holy because our motivation is love. We love him so much. For he gave his only begotten son. He so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. And so if we know that he so loved us that he gave his son, the least we can do is love him enough back and live the way that he's told us that we should live. Amen? Because to tell your neighbor, there are benefits to holiness. All right. And we found out that holiness, kadosh in the Hebrew, is a set apart lifestyle. Our lifestyle is different. It's set apart so that people will know him through the way we live. Amen. Right? Amen. Because they don't see him, right? He's not necessarily visible to them, but the only Yahweh they can see, the only Yeshua, the Savior they can see, is when they look at you. Amen. Because who are you? You are ambassadors of Yeshua. Yeah. Right? And so that very name, we use this true Hebrew name, Yeshua, which means he will save, right? And so that's what he did for you, and that's the lifestyle that we should portray. If he saved us, we should act like he did. Let me say that one more time. If he saved us, we should act like he saved us. We shouldn't act like he didn't save us, because he pulled us out of something, right? He translated us, meaning that he took us out of one situation and put us into a completely new, beautiful, free, peace-driven, hey, love-driven, come on, situation with blessings. And so Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse says, and this is our wellspring scripture. This is what we have been building off of from the very beginning. This is actually installment 16. There's a lot to talk about when we talk about holiness. 16th chapter says what? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust. All you got to do is walk in the Spirit. This is where we are located at now. And if you do that, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Did y'all know that it was a war? It was a battle, right? The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would, or the New King James Version says, do the things as you wish. Your flesh, right? You wish. You would. You wish. And then so 18th verse says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So I've talked about a lot of things, but I want to talk about the difference between living in the Spirit and living under the law. Because the word says we're not under the law anymore, right? Right? We're under grace right now. Well, who did that? Yeshua, when he came, he fulfilled the law. But I'm so glad that this is a truth-seeking ministry. Because sometimes we want to pick and choose the things that we want to follow. You can't do that. You can't grocery shop the word. But you need to understand the word and the difference between the law and the difference between living under grace. We want to talk about that. But here we are in Galatians, so we are talking to the new church, right? After Yeshua left, this is the church that we're dealing with. We're still in that church age of Acts. We're still there. Why? Because he hasn't come back yet. He left us instructions on how we were supposed to live and how we were supposed to conduct ourselves till he returned, right? And so it says here in the 18th verse, 19th verse, now the works of the flesh are manifest. That means they're evident, they're obvious. They're here. They're right smack in your face. Even a fool would not err in the way. We should know what these things are, right? And it says, are these adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such. So he gave us a list of 17 things, right, that are supposed to be evident. And I know how people are. We always want to find a loophole. We always want to find out how far to the edge can we go before we fall. We want to put our toes right there on the precipice. That's the edge. and we want to go right there to the limit, right? Isn't that what we do? We push the limits, and we always want to look at gray areas. We love gray areas. But here he listed 17 things, and some of y'all had already decided what your loophole. Because here in this technology-driven, see, there wasn't the same technology there. So you wondering, oh, well, since I'm just doing it on the internet, we not together. I'm you married, but you on the internet seeking. You on the internet talking. You on the internet stalking. And when I used to listen to the music back in the day, I think it was a lyric that said, you stalking and chicken hawking. Trying to see what you can get, right? So we want to say, oh, well, it's not really adultery or fornication because it's through the computer screen. But so you sexting. what is sexting? You sending pictures through the phone or through the internet. You video chatting. Where you looking each other through video. What else are you doing? You FaceTiming. Y'all act like it's quiet in here. I guess I'm stepping on some toes, yes. So it didn't say thou shalt not FaceTime lewdly and all this. It didn't say that. But guess what it said? And such like. So that means the stuff that's just like it, he knew that you guys would have the internet. So he said, let me put this there so I could cover them in 2014. And they're going to be something new in 2015, I'm sure. And 16, however long he decides to tarry, there's going to be something new. But guess what? It's still going to be covered because the word of Yahweh is everlasting. And he says, such like. Tell your neighbor, and such like. Okay. So that covers that. Okay. So it says this. And such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we talked about this, and for the last 3 weeks, I was talking about the stuff that was not very evident. Because some saints are, we talked about bougie believers who forget where they came from, and they think they're so high and mighty above everybody else, they put their Pharisee hat on. And I said, you thinking that just sexual sin will keep you out. But then we went to Proverbs, right, which talked about that there were six things that Yahweh doth hate. Yea, the seventh thing is an abomination. And it didn't have nothing to do with sexual stuff. It had to do with you running your mouth, saying stuff, lying, doing stuff that you had no business, trying to divide and trying to separate. That was an abomination. So you can sit up here and say, yeah, they had sex. But you are gossiping and spreading it and spreading division in the church, and you got your Pharisee hat on, and if Yeshua came today, you would still be sitting right here planted on this pew with your hat on. Thinking that you was all right. So I'm here to bust that bubble. We bubble busting. Meaning, no, it's not just sexual stuff that's going to get you. Your mouth is going to get you in trouble, too. Say it, somebody. Because the mouth, death and life are controlled by the what? Tongue. So I could do some sin, and I could still have not done anything sexual, and I could still miss out. Tell your neighbor, yes, you can. You got to live this life. Don't cherry pick the stuff. If he tell you need to watch your mouth, saints, watch your mouth. Thank you, Fozzie. That is the truth. So we talked about that. So today, let's talk about some other stuff. When Yeshua came, the difference between the law being fulfilled, because there were 613 laws, Levitical laws. You remember that? It wasn't just the thou shalt not, it was a bunch of other things, right? And so when Yeshua came, he fulfilled that. Now, out of all of those laws, there are three different types of laws. Some of the laws were ceremonial. Some of the laws were civic or dietary. And then some of the laws were moral laws. And see, what we do is we try to make arguments, and we go back to the Levitical laws to make arguments on different stuff. And then we end up messing up because there's some other stuff in the Levitical law that we are not observing. What are you talking about, Pastor Tom? Let me tell you. Go to Leviticus. When Yeshua came to fulfill the law, he didn't destroy it, he fulfilled it. So there were some things, say pre-law and say post-law. Because pre-law, when did the law come? The law came when what? Moshe, right? Because they had to break stuff down because they was always trying to find some kind of loophole, right? So then the law had, but pre-law, there was some stuff that was still the nature of Yahweh, the morality of Yahweh that you just did not do. That was already established. But then we had to establish a whole new set given to Moshe. And then when Yeshua came, we had to navigate what was the moral and what was the Levitical stuff. Because y'all ain't doing none of the Levitical stuff. Let me tell you why. Let's go to Leviticus, the 18th chapter. But see, a lot of times believers get themselves put in a trick bag if they don't rightly divide the word of truth. Say, rightly divide the word of truth. You've been called to do that. So you can't sit up here and just spew stuff. You need to know what you're talking about. Because anybody you ever talk to some of these other folks out here, the black Hebrews and Jehovah Witness, and you get in a conversation with them, and they can out-talk you. If you're not careful, they will out-maneuver you, out-speak you, out-talk you. And you'll be like, let me talk to my pastor. But you have been called to rightly divide the word. You should be able to stand toe-to-toe with anybody. And they call that defending your faith apologetics. All of y'all, you don't have to go to school for that. Just stay awake when the word is going forth on Sunday morning. Just stay awake when the word is going forth on Wednesday night Bible study. Actually, don't just stay awake. At least show up. And then if you did that and applied the word and at least read something during the week, maybe you'd be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. It's not just on me. It's your job. So tell your neighbor, pay attention. All right. So Leviticus, the 18th chapter. And it says, and you'll see why these things were. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him. Shalt thou not uncover. Kin to you, to uncover their nakedness. I am Yahweh. 7, the nakedness of thy father. Or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. You mean they have to tell folks don't get busy with your mommy and daddy? Yes. Because that kind of mess was going on. Thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. Don't mess with your daddy's wife. That should be a given. But we got. We used to have Jerry Springer, something different now, right? And you would see, is there another show like that now? Yeah. Mari, is that it? Mari Povich, you see this mess going on. Hey, the nakedness of thy father's wife shall thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. They were talking about incest, right? Nakedness, right? And they had to break it down in detail. 9. The nakedness of thy sister and the daughter of thy father or the daughter of thy mother, whether she born at home or born abroad. Are you seeing? I got to break it down. Even their nakedness thou shalt not cover. So that guess it was saying, well, since she wasn't born here, let me dig with her. No. What is it? Where are we at? 10, the nakedness of thy son's daughter, or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. For theirs is thine own nakedness, the nakedness of thy father's daughter, begotten of thy father. She is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. For thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. You see how they got to break it down? Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister. For she is thy mother's near kinswoman. 14, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Right? Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover nakedness for her. They are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her life. You see? You see they got to cover what? Because there was all manner of stuff going on. And when we talk about This time, the Canaanites had gods, and they wanted to preserve the family bloodline and all this stuff, so they would engage in incest and different stuff, mess, wickedness, right? That they had to clearly spell out, right? And so when we talk about that, we got to understand, in reading this, thank you, Yahweh, for Yeshua. Come on. Because there's a whole lot. Also, 19th, right? Thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. That's something else. I don't know if I got any time to get into that. But you got to understand that there was a lot of wickedness going on. We'll deal with this more at another subject. More shalt thou lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of Yahweh. I am Yahweh, follow with pagan activity. So do you see who they're talking to now? Molech was a god that they would take babies and throw them in the fire. Sacrifice them. Right? There was all kinds of pagan activity going on, right? And so we talked about that. So let's skip here. Let's go to, we're still in 18. Let's go to, I want to cover this. Where is it? The 26. Let's skip down to 26. And so it says, You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, what? And shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. So do you see how they have to break that down? Right? And so when we talk about this, we have to understand that that was 613 of these things. So now I don't have to go back to these portions, because we already know if you love one another, you're not going to commit any of these moral transgressions, right? Because the moral law is still in place. But when Yeshua came, he did not destroy the law. He fulfilled the law. Now, that means that the moral stuff that existed before the law still remains intact, right? But what about the rest of them? Let's find out. Let's go here. Leviticus 19, 26. You got it? And even when we talk about the law, remember the lady who committed adultery? Right? That we talked about last week or week before last? They were going to stone her. She was caught in the very right? And they were going to stone her, because according to the law, that's what the repercussions was. But Yeshua said, hey, I understand what the law says. So let you who is without sin cast the first stone. Well, nobody threw rocks that day, because they were not what? Without sin. Right? So a lot of times we point at other people's stuff, but what? Is pointing right back at us. Now, did Yeshua, was he condoning her sin? Heavens no. He was not condoning her sin, because at the end he said what? Sin no more. Because if something worse is going to come upon you if you go back to it, right? But we have to understand, now we're in grace. We're not under the law anymore. So Yeshua administered that moral law, but at the same time, he showed the love and the mercy. And the what? Compassion, right? And so Leviticus 19, 26. You got it? Say, I got it. You shall not eat anything with the blood. Okay, well, we would have been real messed up, because we had hamburgers yesterday. Right? We're not supposed to eat anything what? With the blood. Neither shall you use enchantment nor observe times. 27, you shall not round the corners of your heads. That means shave your heads. Well, I would be in some serious trouble. And many of my brothers here I'm looking at. Because when you try to go back to the Levitical law to make arguments, then the people who know the word are going to be like, well, what about this? And what about that? And what you going to do? So we're making it clear. Yeshua fulfilled this. Now, when it comes, the moral laws are still in place. Baby boy and baby girl, they're still in place. But when we talk about the civic dietary laws, and when we talk about the ceremonial laws, those are the things that Yeshua is saying that we don't have to do. And I'll show you in the New Testament. So it says, right, you shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt you mar the corners of thy beard. Well, Jeremy marred my corners a few weeks ago at the barbershop. Yes, he did. And I'm looking at some of you. You have marred the corners of your beard. So what are you going to say when a person says, well, what about that? Let's read on. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am Yahweh. That sounds like tattoo. But let's understand why it still stands. So you got believers, you know, getting tattoos and stuff. And then believers will go to this. It says, you shall not take any cuttings of your flesh from the dead, nor print marks upon you. I am Yahweh. This had to do with some ceremonial stuff, but let me tell you why. Because that's what they did in ceremony. They marked themselves and all that kind of things. They make cuttings, piercings. But I would not use this to tell you that you shouldn't get a tattoo. I don't have to. Why? Well, if you want to get a tattoo, you should check with the owner. Well, what is a tattoo? The tattoo is something that you put on the body. Well, according to the New Testament, you don't own that body. Now, the apostle has a beautiful Mercedes-Benz. And that would be nice, because, you know, I enjoy driving that when you let me. Now, if he let me drive that car, right? Now, he got some chrome wheels on there. I would put some black 22s on there. I can't borrow his car and then go put dubs on it and bring it back to him. He gonna say, who told you to put 22s on my ride? Why do not? I don't have the right to do that, because it doesn't belong to me.
All right.
We have people who purchase cars and who lease cars. If you lease a car, then you would know, even if you're not making that monthly payment, that car don't belong to you. You will drive it around and you will act like it's yours. But you can't put personal license plates on it unless you get approval from whoever holds your lease. You can put dubs on there, but you better be sure that when you turn that lease back in, you better put the stock wheels back on again. Why? Because it don't belong to you. So when you decide, let me show you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. If you want, now, is Pastor Tom saying that you should not get a tattoo? Pastor Tom does not have to tell you that you should not get a tattoo. It's up to you to check with the owner of your body. Who is that? Well, let's find out. 6th chapter. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6 chapter, 18th verse. And what does it say? 18, does it say flee? Does 18 say flee? Let's go to 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? How? Wait, stop. Where are we? 1 Corinthians. Where are we? We talking to the what? We're talking to the church people. Okay, now we're in the New Testament, which means now Yeshua's already come. He's already fulfilled the law. We're living under grace, but there's some instructions for you. He hasn't come back. There ain't no gray areas. So he says what? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of Yahweh, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Yahweh in your body and in your spirit, which are Yahweh's. Your body don't belong to you anymore. You've been bought with a price. We're his servants. So when you decide that you want to get a tattoo on that body, that's something that you decided. He's already given you the seal of the Holy Ghost. That's all you need, brothers and sisters. It's on the table of your heart. There's no need for you to put nothing on your body. Let me tell you, you decide, well, I'm going to get a scripture, and I'm going to put it right here across my chest. Yahweh ain't going to get no glory with his name on your nipples. Why? Because no flesh shall be glorified. He don't need you to put his scripture on your naked flesh. What he needs you to do is get off your behind and go out there and tell somebody about the Savior who transformed your life. He needs you to open up your mouth. He don't need you to get a tattoo. He needs you to go say something. Matter of fact, why don't you just live life, show people that there's a difference, and there ain't no need for you to get tatted and ratted up. Did Yahweh tell you, go, thou shalt goeth and get a tattoo on thy behind? Because that's what some of y'all do. Now listen, if you've already got tattoos in the past, that was past. You already did it. Hallelujah. It's under the blood. Hallelujah. It's under the blood. I'm not talking to you. Don't go spend your money to go get it removed unless you really feel that you can do that. But don't get another one. Because the owner have not commanded you to do that. I tell you what he commanded you to do. He said, go ye out and preach the gospel too. But I don't even have to go to Leviticus. Yeah, don't get no tattoo because it said right here, you're not having the marks on your flesh and all that stuff. Well, what about the other stuff? What about my shaved head? What about my beard? But if you go to where I just told you to, then you can shut that tattoo argument down. It makes more sense to me if you want to tattoo your car. Go on and put a scripture across that Isuzu. Put it on your bumper. Go on and put that scripture across. Hey, you want to put it on your glass and on your Benz or on your Kia or whatever it is that you drive. You want to spread the gospel. Go on and get it on your license plate. But I don't see none of y'all tatting your cars up. I don't see no tats in the parking lot. But everybody want to what? Sisters, you tattooing the top of your breasts. Yahweh ain't going to get no glory out of watching that. Because who's going to see it? Well, the situations that you put yourself in where somebody's seeing that ain't no situations where you should be even bringing up his name. He's not getting what? Tell your neighbor, he ain't getting no glory. He ain't getting no glory in that story. So you got to start qualifying the things. And let's go here. But don't I have the right? Can I have some say? 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Did Pastor Tom have to tell? See, people always want to find out what my opinion is. It don't matter what I think about tattoos. All that matters is what the Word says about tattoos. You don't care nothing about me. I'm telling you, if you want a tattoo, go talk to the owner. Seriously. But see, this is a dangerous place to be. When you come back and say, yeah, Yahweh said it was all right. Come on, y'all. The worst thing you can do is lie on him. You better be careful. Don't you be lying and saying Yahweh said something that he ain't said. Because then you got some serious stuff to deal with. Tell your neighbor, that's serious. So don't play with stuff like that. I'm seriously telling you, go take it up with the owner. That means you go in prayer. You seek Yahweh and say, Yahweh, should I really get this tattoo? I can already tell you what he going to say, but he going to take you here. Your body's not. There's a reason for that. 23rd. And you thinking that you just because you get a scripture or you get some Hebrew writing on your flesh, then it's okay. Tell your neighbor, get on out of here. Get out of here with that. 23rd. Well, you want to know Pastor Tom. Say, Pastor Tom only cares what the word of Yahweh says. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, 23rd verse. All things are lawful for me. That means, yeah, you can do whatever you want to do. But all things are not expedient. That means they're not necessary. They're not always okay. What? All things are lawful. So are you breaking any laws when you decide you want to get a tattoo? Nah. Who got you definitely, if you in your flesh, you're going to give your flesh the final say anyway. But all things edify. You can do some stuff that you want to do, but is Yahweh being edified? Is Yahweh really getting the glory? And I don't want to look at your flesh to see what the word of God, Yahweh, says. I want to look at your life. Don't show me your flesh. Show me your lifestyle. I can't tell you how many people I see, they got scriptures all up and down their arms, but their life is not reflecting what the scriptures even say on their arm. If you're going to put a scripture on your arm, at least live it. Good gracious. Leviticus, the 20th chapter, the 7th verse. Leviticus 20, chapter, the 7th verse says what? Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Yahweh which sanctify you. For everyone that curses his father and his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, and the adulterer and adulteress shall surely be put to death. Well, yeah. Yeshua agreed to that, right? But you got to qualify this. Yeshua wasn't telling her it was all right, and I covered this before. But some of y'all want to say, yeah, well, Yeshua was kicking it with the prostitutes. He was kicking it with the wine bibbers and the drunken. He wasn't kicking it with them. Because y'all be putting in, acting like Yeshua was kicking it in the club with them and stuff. Yeshua ain't kicking it in the club with you. Yeshua in the club with you? Today, if he was here today, he would not be kicking it at your club. In your club. Now, he would evangelize that club and he would shut it down. Hallelujah. He would shut it down. Right? But what he was doing wasn't that people, that he was hanging out with the people. The people were drawn to him. See, when you're living right, people are attracted to you. they're attracted to the light. And some of y'all want to think that it's you. It ain't you. It's the Holy Ghost that is in you. Hallelujah. Because they see that life being lived, and it's like, wow, I would love to, what? Live that life. But some of y'all get it twisted. Instead of you influencing them, you get it twisted and you start letting them influence you. Listen, I will share the gospel with people, but what I get is when I can get them up here in the church. Hallelujah. When you can get them here in the church, right? Get them to visit. Get them to listen to the word. Get them to kind of see that this is a real lifestyle, because the church is known for being a bunch of hypocrites. The church has got a bad reputation for going out there and doing and saying all this stuff and being all holy, and then the next day you out there in the club cutting the bug in the rug at the club. Anybody got anything written like that? That could be a hit. But a lot of times, y'all need deliverance from the club. I go to the club to show people that, you know, I'm saved, and there's a difference in me. But you on the dance floor. But you bumping and grinding, and you throwing back whatever the drink is of the day, pink panty, martinis, or whatever. Is Yahweh getting the glory out of that? Did you go to the club and were you passing out tracts in the name of Yeshua? Yahweh's not getting no glory from what you're saying. But if you really want to do something, if you really want to go, you just got to go to the club. Take some tracts. Go to the parking lot where the cars are parked. And go ahead and put that in the windshields. Hallelujah. As the people are coming out, go on and say, Yeshua saves. Go ahead and do it. It's all right. You standing outside the door. You know he'll save you. You know he'll change your life. Oh, you know he'll do something. I was clubbing just like you was. Oh, but I found out the misery of that. And now I found so much peace and so much joy and so much fulfillment in serving him. Here goes the track. See you at church tomorrow. Let's see if you can make it. Amen. Blessings to you. I don't hear no claps on that. You ain't clapping for me. You clapping for the concept. If you want to go to the club, do it the right way. But you getting in there all mesmerized. There was a guy named Mesmer. And he found out a way to drop notes and drop messages in music subliminally to get people to react and respond. And that's why they call it mesmerized, because Mesmer created that. So some of y'all, you go to the club because you hooked, you've been mesmerized and you hypnotized, right? Think about it. Booch, 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 booch. And before you know it, you, hey. That's where the song Michael Jackson came from. They put it in the club, and they put the little chant on it that came from an Africa tribe. I'm a mama say, mama sa, mama kusa. And y'all don't even know what that means. It means my soul dances, that my flesh dances. But y'all didn't know that, because y'all be like, I'ma say, mama sa, mama kusa, I'ma say, mama sa, mama. And you just glorifying flesh. You say, oh, he's talking about Michael. Well, I mean, don't nobody say nothing bad about Michael. Well, it is what it is. But y'all out there chanting and saying stuff, and you don't even know what it means. Some of the stuff that's being said now in music, you just have no clue. Music is going on, and it is casting a spell over your flesh. And you too mesmerize and too hypnotize to even know what's happening to you. Have you know some music make you a little bit more loose? Mother? What? What you been listening to lately? But she says it makes you think about the old times. Any of my 70s babies out here? Okay. A reason. Look at the reaction of God. That take you back to what? Give me the year. 1976. Y'all have been transported back to when you was unsaved. It took you all the way back. And that's not necessarily a good thing. I know where I was with that song. Ooh, I was glasses tingling. The enemy will make you think that you was having fun and you was in a great lifestyle before you were saved. But he don't show you all that misery of that night after the reasons. He just show you the reasons, but he don't tell you what happened after the concert. Holiness. Yahweh has a plan for your life. But you got to understand that the enemy is going to do everything he can to snatch you up out of what Yahweh has given you. Anybody got peace that passes all understanding? Anybody got joy in their hearts today? Anybody got, and now you're not living in that same misery? You look forward to the next day. Hallelujah. The best day of your life is today, and the next best day is tomorrow. Hallelujah. You got something to look forward to? Anything come, you know that you don't have to bear that heavy load by yourself. All you got to do is cast it on him, and it's going to be all right. Tell your neighbor, it's going to be all right. All we got to do is live for him, and it's going to be all right. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Father Yahweh, we thank you for holiness. We thank you, Father, for placing our feet in on the right ground, Father, on your ground, on the